We all know what a pain buying a car can be. Just the thought of walking into a dealership can really bring about some anxiety. Thankfully, help has arrived in the form of MyHopscotch.com, a car buying service that will do it all. They'll find the right car, negotiate price, trade-in, financing, and even warranties, so you don't have to. You will be thrilled with their services, guaranteed. Seriously, you'll never buy a car any other way once you try MyHopscotch.com. Go to MyHopscotch.com and use promo code FANTASY to let them know you heard it from us. You get an additional 10% off as well. That's MyHopscotch.com.
It's time for the Fantasy Football Guys with off-season updates and next season guesses. Here they are.
Here we be.
Lyle Conkeel and Kevin Moore, the Fantasy Football Guys.
Oh, yeah. We are the Fantasy Football Guys. Kevin.
Oh, Lyle.
And we are doing this off-season thing. Actually, you know, last year we started doing the off-season shows, and it was kind of cool. But I think we should have been doing this all along, man. I really kind of like this.
Maybe. I mean, it's interesting. So we should talk about it, but at the same time,
there's stories to tell.
It happens so fast, though, too.
It does. So we're going to, you know, in a minute, we're going to talk about what they're calling the old guys who are still available.
Right.
And these are players that everybody's been digging on for years now.
Right.
But, you know, we're going to talk about this today. By Wednesday, it'll all be different.
Yeah,
some of these guys will be picked up.
It'll be gone. You know. Right. Right.
But, you know, I was listening to a show today that basically NFL teams have turned their attention away from free agency toward the draft now. So a lot of these guys we're going to go over here in a minute probably aren't going to be picked up until either closer to the draft or after the draft, depending on what teams can do and to fill their needs in the draft. So it's going to be interesting.
I hope that's not true, but maybe it is. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so let's take a look at this now. So at quarterback, there's really three names that kind of float to the top. You got Jay Cutler, who's 33, Colin Kaepernick at 29, who has issues other than football-related, and Ryan Fitzpatrick at 34. He has a lot of football-related issues. I guess Cutler does, too.
No. Here's the thing. All of these guys could make a ton of money being backups, right? 100%. Do you disagree?
I don't disagree. I think backup quarterback is a fabulous job to have. You make multiple millions of dollars per year, and you really don't have to get hit.
It's probably the most lucrative job in all the sports, maybe. A relief pitcher is probably up there, too.
No, but they got to play. They actually have to get out there.
That's true. Yeah. So, and backups maybe don't, right? So,
because, like Doug Peterson, coach of the Eagles, made millions of dollars playing football in Green Bay.
He did. Yeah. And so I don't know. Like, what's the hesitation here? Kaepernick has that whole, dude, I've watched all week long. People are like, why is Kaepernick? Shut up. The reason why has nothing to do with him kneeling for the national anthem. It's because he's not a great quarterback. He's good. And I'd love to see somebody coach him to be a better thrower and use his legs. Like, after that, I think he would be amazing if somebody did that for him, right? But that, you know, doesn't exist right now. So, guess what? He's just okay. And a lot of these guys are. They're Mike Vick less, right?
Less the actual awesome talent.
Yes. I mean, well, dude, Kaepernick's got some of it. We've seen it.
Right.
Right.
I'm talking about the awesome talent, the Vic talent, where he can take over a game and just wreck the other team.
Right.
These guys don't have that.
Right. Well, so the thing is, Vic had it, and then people schemed against him and then lost anyway. Where Kaepernick, people schemed against him, and then all of a sudden he become ordinary. Right. He was just okay. But he can work through that. But it has, and it really bothers me that they're talking about this. It has, I really 100% believe that none of these teams are looking at him and going, yeah, he kneeled during the national anthem, so we don't want him. No.
Yeah. Dude, there's a guy who's coming out of Oklahoma as a running back, right?
Yeah.
Punched a woman in a restaurant.
Right. And
people are still saying, yeah, yeah, you know, if he scores touchdowns, they'll take him. So a guy not standing for the national anthem, yeah, there might be a little bit of blowback if a team picks Kaepernick up, but it's not going to be that much.
Didn't LeGarrette Blount knock a dude out?
On a football field, yeah. Yeah. He punched him.
So,
and wrecked him. Wrecked
so
him.
Guess what? He's got a ring or two. So shut up. Right.
So, you know, I think it's possible that these three guys have been offered contracts for backup money. But I think, well, maybe Fitzpatrick hasn't been offered anything for backup money. But Cutler and Kaepernick probably have been offered backup money, but I think they are still looking for the opportunity to start.
I think we'd know, though, right? Wouldn't we?
I don't know.
That would be leaked. Like, we would know, right?
I guess, you know, you know, if a guy gets on a plane and goes and visits, you know, that's going to be leaked. But you know, right, whether or not a contract was offered or not.
Yeah, but in this day and age, you don't have to get on a plane. Like, somebody can tweet you, right?
Well, you know, look at it this way. If Green Bay calls Cutler's agent and says, hey, look, we'd like to bring Jay up to back up Aaron. And Jay's like, nah, you know, the agent's like, nah, Jay wants an opportunity to start. And, you know, with Aaron there, you know, it's not, he's not going to get that chance. So thanks anyway. You know, talk to us in early May before camps, and we'll see what happens.
It's fine. You know, but seems silly. Yeah.
It does. But, you know, if Cutler feels as though he wants starter money and he's only getting offered backup money, then he still sits. So, you know, if Jacksonville calls, you know, he has an opportunity to unseat Blake Bortles there.
Yeah, it just, I mean, Cutler's good enough, and dude, anybody is, right? So good enough to compete. So what's the problem? Kaepernick too, like good enough to compete. Certainly, dude. Kaepernick is a phenomenal athlete, right? Maybe not a great quarterback. Sure, okay. Let's have that conversation. But certainly, like, good enough to compete for a job in the NFL.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Okay. So, I don't understand the hesitation. You know what I mean? I don't understand why teams would look at him and go, meh, no. Because we have third string. And we know that Kaepernick's better than that. We know that Fitzpatrick, insert Cutler, like, whoever, they're better than that. So,
right.
What is the hesitation? Is it the price tag?
At this point, you know, you're going, okay, you're talking about, damn, you all right, bro? You talking? Did you hit your cough button for that one?
I did.
Oh, awesome. Well, Lyle coughed like he was about to gag up a lung. Anyway, so you got Cutler, who's 33, Kaepernick, who's 29. So if you're in need of a quarterback, if you're Cleveland, right, or, you know, if you're looking for a guy for the future,
right,
you know, you'd probably rather have one of the, you know, three or four or five quarterbacks who are coming out of the draft than a guy who's 33, especially if you're trying to build. You know, if any of these guys would be an improvement over Brock Osweiler or Cody Kessler in Cleveland, but, you know, I'm sure that they don't want somebody who's 30 already. You know, they probably want somebody who's younger than they can have and coach up for the future. So it'll be interesting to see where these guys land. You know, they're going to land.
Is that true, though? I don't know.
They'll land somewhere. They may not be.
Kurt Warner wasn't young. Steve was young wasn't young. Like, you know, like, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like these teams are discriminating is the wrong word, but they definitely look at these players and go, this is toxic and no thanks.
Well,
right?
I don't think Fitzpatrick is toxic. I think he throws a lot of interceptions.
100% he's toxic, man. He had a great season and his own team was like, no. So there's something there other than his performance, right?
Well, if that's
the
case,
then
you have to talk about Cousins from the Redskins, who
sure
continues to play very, very well, but they're not even talking about a long-term deal with
him.
They just keep slapping the franchise on
it. Well, if you look at his performance, though, I mean, numbers fine, but he's not producing results, right? So it's about, you know, winning X and Y and Z championships. You know, he did have a division, so good for him. But I'm just saying, like, it's winning those things, and he doesn't have that. But yeah, man, I don't know. Like, it feels to me like, again, discrimination is the wrong word, but we're looking at these players and basing everything off of, you know, a couple games.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by basing it all off a couple games?
I mean that there are some players out there, like Kirk Cousins, for example, that I think are really good players in the NFL.
Right.
That have failed to take their teams to the next level. He did it once, okay, and he's had good numbers. But I feel like the NFL is all about, what about, you know, the next level? Like, you know, show me conference championships. Show me, you know, a Super Bowl appearance, or like multiple playoff appearances. And you know what I mean? And
yeah, so the whole what have you done for me lately?
Right. Argument. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I think that's almost not fair when you have so many teams vying for the same thing. I think you have to look at the individual in their division, and with the, not only that, but with the tools they've been given. So personally, I think that Kirk Cousins has been really fortunate with the tools he's been given. He's had a great running game, decent right. offensive line, super awesome wide receivers, right?
Well, not anymore.
not anymore. But I'm just saying, like, I feel like if you look at him on that level, maybe he's not that great.
Maybe.
Right.
That's one of those things you have to look and you go, okay, yeah. Well, he may not be that great, but, you know, right. Where can we get the better guy? Where's the better guy?
Well,
and
so
that's the question.
And the converse argument goes with, like, Osweiler, right, where he had all the tools in the world and, you know, did win a Super Bowl as a backup, unfortunately, right? But then went to another team that had a lot of tools too, like great Super Bowl caliber defense, obviously, and awesome.
Couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
Right. Awesome wide receivers, decent running back situation, couldn't do anything, right? So that's the opposite side of that argument. So that's all I'm saying. Like, I mean, I think it's really obvious when you look at it, like, wholesale.
So where do you think these guys are going to go?
I have no idea, man.
Let's look at the running backs. Now, the running backs might be a little bit easier. So you got two guys who are 30, Jamal Charles, who brings, you know, injuries with him. You got LeGarrette Blount, who really, except for the weed issue a little while ago, he did have a weed issue, didn't he? Of course he did. And then you got Adrian Peterson, who's got a little bit of baggage and some injury trouble with him as well.
Let me tell you something. LeGarrette Blount is the new, way better Darren Sproles. Please hire him.
Wait a minute. LeGarrette Blount, the way better Darren Sproles?
Way better.
Yeah. Than Darren Sproles. LeGarrette Blount's nowhere near Darren Sproles, dude.
How many touchdowns did Blount have last year?
What was that?
How many touchdowns did Blount have last year?
No. I'm talking about, as far as their games go, LeGarrette Blount's more like a Marshawn Lynch type than a Darren Sproles type, dude.
I'm just saying, Sproles, so from my perspective, I get what you're saying. What I'm saying is an older dude that can contribute. And then then you look at LeGarrette Blount. How many? 18? Was it 18?
He had 18 touchdowns. He caught one, too. So I think it was 18 plus a catch.
So 19 touchdowns last year.
Yeah, he would.
19.
There's no way he should be not claimed so far.
Forget about it, dude. It's not even close. Who is not claiming this dude?
I think he wants to go back to the Patriots, obviously. And who can blame him?
Yeah, of course he does. They got Brandon Cooks. I mean, you know, but at the same time, I get it. Like, people are hesitant because, you know, he probably wants a good paycheck for, you know, a year or two, and good for him. But at the same time, that's a lot of touchdowns, homie.
It is. You can say, well, he was on the Patriots, but, you know, he did the running.
Doesn't matter. I don't care. A lot of people might say that, but dude, that amount of production doesn't exist. Like, it happens occasionally, like 5, 10 years, like, you know, it's just not normal.
It's a lot. And, you know, he's a guy that you can count on. So, you know, in the red zone, to be sure. Think about, he's not going to be that expensive because, you know, he's 30 and he's, you know, he's had some off the field issues, et cetera. So, you know, it's not going to be like he's looking for, you know, $8 million a year or something. You can probably get him for, you know, $2 or $3 million a year for over a 2-year contract.
Right.
So, you know, I think there are a lot of teams that can afford him. I think what's hurting him specifically, I think Peterson and Charles have injury issues and age issues and mileage issues. But I think Blount on his own, what's holding him back is that the draft coming up is so deep at the running back position.
I don't think it matters, really. Maybe it's holding him back in a political sense. Like, they're like, we can, you know, work this out in terms of money. But really, it doesn't – those dudes – listen, they might all be awesome. I don't know. But this guy has repeatedly scored touchdowns in the NFL.
Oh, dude, I agree. You know what I mean? Being a guy who's an Eagles fan, and, you know, our best running back is Ryan Matthews, I'd love to have Blount on the Eagles. It'd be fantastic.
Dude.
And I'm sure there are a lot of team, you know, fans would go, I'd love to have Blount on my team because my best running back is...
Homie's unreal. He's unreal, man. He scores touchdowns. And and this is why I compared him. This is the Darren Sproles argument. People thought he was done in New Orleans.
Certainly did.
Yeah. Guess what? He's not. He's still amazing. Every time, dude. So for y'all that don't know, every time he touched the ball in Philly, we're like, oh my God, guess what? He's got the ball.
He could go all the way.
He could. And Sproles,
and sometimes he does.
Sproles is that dude in Philly, and guess what? Blount could be that dude anywhere he was. Maybe not, you know, from, you know, their own 45, but certainly in the red zone and all that kind of stuff. Like, he's that dude, man. He scores points.
He's a bruiser. He's not going to outrun anybody.
No.
He's a guy who can get in the end zone.
He scores points, man. And you can't discount that. That's a huge thing in the NFL, man. I mean, people have made their money in the NFL just scoring touchdowns. So, guess what? Blount's really good at that. So, I don't know how he doesn't have a job. Seems silly to me.
Yeah, it does to me as well. Yeah. Now, the other two, Peterson and Charles, with their, you know, it's not just the age of those. I mean, Peterson's a physical freak, but he has had injuries. And his repair was... it wasn't just I think it was a meniscus. It wasn't just a little shaving of the meniscus. It was a repair, which is a bigger issue.
Apparently, so I've read a lot about the meniscus. Apparently, it's not that big of a deal. It's the kneecap, right? So,
The fact that it's on a 32-year-old leg in the NFL, that's cause for concern.
I feel you. But it's also Adrian Peterson's 30-year-old.
It's also Adrian Peterson's meniscus. So
I'm way more worried about Jamar Charles than I am Adrian Peterson. And I get that. And honestly, I think both of them could be the next Curtis Martin, right? Comeback player of the year, like have an amazing season.
Right.
Especially Peterson, dude, because he's done it so many times, right? Charles has always had issues, injury-wise. And I love him. And please don't mistake my skepticism for, you know, not loving. I do love Jamal Charles. I really do. I've been talking about him since he was way behind in the depth chart. And I was like, dude, one of the fastest players in the NFL. I was super excited about him when he came out of college. But Peterson is a different animal, man. He just is. Right? He's a different dude. and it blew out his knee, whatever. Okay, let's come back, you know, way before, you know, people should. And guess what? I'm still okay. And I'm gonna
run for 2,000 yards plus.
Right. It's silly. So he's a different guy. And we should recognize that some people are special, right? And I think we all know that about Adrian Peterson right now. But at the same time, we should give him that benefit of the doubt. And he'll find a place. And when he does, guess what he's going to do?
He's going to light it up.
I don't think it'll be crazy. He's not going to run for 2K, right?
But
he's
no, gonna, good God, no.
He's gonna drop 1,200.
If he's getting the RB1 touches, you know, if he's a change of pace guy or he's on a committee, it might be a little bit different. But you know, I think if he's healthy, even at 32, I think he's going to rise to the top of whatever committee he's on, to be sure.
Dude, 1,200 yards, you know, 8 to 12 touchdowns wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. Those numbers would surprise me with Jamaal Charles.
Right. For Peterson, me too. Yeah. Yep, I agree. Yep.
Let's take a peek at the wide receivers real quick. There's more of these guys. There's Anquan Boldin, even at 36. Dude, look at his numbers from last year. He produced. I mean, you know, he moved the chains, and he still feels the fire to play. So he's going to get picked up somewhere. Vincent Jackson at 34. His body's been breaking down for a while.
I like him, though.
Yeah, I like him too. I mean, I think he's a guy who can come in and you know, catch some passes for you. Victor Cruz at 30 didn't have a great season last year, but you know, with his injury history, I think just last year he was getting his feet back under.
He started out good though. I mean, like, you know,
he caught a couple touchdowns. Yeah,
yeah, he started out good. I'd be surprised if he wasn't. Again, man, not everybody's a superhero on the team, but. You know, you have a couple passes, you win a couple games, good for you. I think Cruz is in that category right now. Like, he's that guy that, you know, wins you a few games, and he's capable of much more, but I don't know with the injury and stuff.
Yeah, I'd be a little shy of that.
He started out strong, but he faded quickly.
He did.
Yeah.
Now, there's one guy on this list who still doesn't have a job, but his issues tend to be more off the field. And that's Michael Floyd. Dude's only 27, but you know, the fact that he can't stop drinking and driving.
Really? He's only 27?
Only 27.
Wow. Wow. That too could be so good.
He could.
Yeah.
If he just put the Uber app on his phone, you know, and stop getting in the car with drinks. So
I mean, I don't think I need to say much because that's obvious. Like, who wouldn't want that talented MF-er on their team? Like, right? Like, he's so good, clearly.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Josh Gordon thing. Like, you're just like, yeah, but you're off the field stuff. Like, don't do that. Dude, I listened to Arian Foster. Did you watch or listen to the Arian Foster interview from Joe Rogan's podcast?
No.
Oh, man, it was so good. It was so good because Arian Foster was like, I wish I hadn't done this. I wish I had not gone to the NFL.
And done what instead?
He wanted to be a scientist, and actually he's going back to school to do that. And the thing is, he was so talented from 7 years old. If people were just like, yeah, you can do this, you can do this, you can do that. And when he got to the top, he was like, and he talked about his retirement from the Dolphins. And he was like, I realized that I was watching a game and on the sidelines as a Dolphin. And I realized I didn't care who won or lost. I didn't care. He was like, man, I was that person who was just like, I shouldn't be here. This is messed up.
Yeah.
And he talked about, like, you know, that whole, like, going through college and all that stuff of, like, being the golden child. And he was like, it's really unhealthy.
Well, you know, it's cool that he realized this, but yeah. He realized it when he was done as a football player anyway. Oh, dude. So,
dude.
You know, if he'd realized it at 23 and given it up, then I would give it a little more credence.
He made so much money. But I will give him credit that he was like, I totally made money in college. People gave me money. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I mean, he said it. He was like, yeah. And I think people should make money in college, but people paid me a ton of money in college. And I thought that was really cool, too. But at the same time, I thought it was really interesting that he was just like, look, at the end of your career, like, what has changed? Nothing.
Well, the difference is, in, you know, in a lot of people, and most people don't make millions in the NFL. You know, true. Only the stars do.
True.
But, you know, I don't know what his bank account looks like. He strikes me as the kind of guy who's going to invest well and not spend frivolously. So, you know, maybe he's got, you know, $10 or $15 million hanging around. It's easy to be, you know, retrospective with a big bank account like that, you know?
What was funny is, I think I told you this last time. I don't remember, but what was funny is he signed his first major contract. And then he was like, yeah, my collarbone's broken. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a day later, he was like, yeah, it's been
broken. I'm going to need surgery.
And yeah, and then they looked at it, and they were like, oh, shit, it's broken. He was like, yep, sorry.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to go OTAs. So, I'm not going to be able to go to training camp.
Dude played 3 years in the NFL with a broken collarbone.
Wow.
Yeah, man. I mean,
not saying he's not tough.
Dude, like, whatever, but I kind of get his point of view. I'm not saying it's, you know, right or what, like, whatever. I don't know. I'm a dude sitting behind a microphone. But it makes sense to me. Yeah. I was like, yeah.
Hey, good for him. I'll have to go back and listen to that. I mean,
it was good. It was really good.
The thing about Rogan shows are they're so long, dude, but they're so good. You can't not listen.
I think it was 2.5 hours with Arian Foster, man. And, you know, he was so down to earth. He was like, listen, man, I go out to places and people like would try to like hand me their baby. And he was like, I would love to hold your baby, but I can't, because if something happens, like my whole world's done. So I can't touch your baby, you know? And I can't imagine being in that situation. Like, if somebody walked up to me and they were like, hold my baby, let's take a picture, I would totally hold that baby. I'd be like, yes, I love babies.
I don't know, dude. If somebody walked up to me that I didn't know and say, here, hold my baby, I'd be like, nah.
I don't know, man. So. I love babies. Like,
yeah, I like babies, too. Babies are cute, but some rando wants me to hold their baby?
I don't know.
Nah.
But that's a weird position to be in, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
where you're at a point in your life where you can't do normal stuff because you'll get sued or you'll get. And he was in that point and he was like, man, I don't want to be this person. He wanted out.
Yeah.
And I respect that. I do.
Well, you know, I'd seen a few interviews with him through the years, and he always struck me as a very cerebral type guy.
Yeah,
anyway, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Eastern philosophy and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, kind of an impressive dude anyway, because you know, he's aware, self-aware, and, you know, that's such a rare thing
these days.
So, yeah, certainly an impressive guy, to be sure. So, hey, good for him. I mean, you know, I respected Ricky Williams for following his path for a while. He came back to the NFL.
They talked about that a lot, too. Yeah. Yeah, and, like his whole journey, but... I don't know. I just thought it was weird because most people don't go that route. They go for the money, right? Yeah. They're just like, all right, I'm going to go for more. And, dude.
Well, you remember Jake Plummer, right?
Yeah, man. I remember Jake Plummer.
He was just like, all right, never mind. Yeah, I'm just going to, I got money. You know, I'm just going to chill. And Carson Palmer kind of did the same thing. He's like, I'm done playing for Cincinnati. I have $80 million.
Right.
I'm just not going to play. And then he got traded to Oakland. He's like, okay, Oakland's cool. I'll play in Oakland.
So quarterbacks can do that, but running backs typically don't have that luxury, man. You know what I mean? They don't get that giant paycheck, you know? So,
you know, back in the day, I mean, running backs were it when, you know, the quarterback would throw 12 times a game.
Emmitt Smith and, you know.
Well, before even before that I'm talking about, like, you know, Bob Dicker. Greasy. You know, Bob Greasy in the Super Bowl 72, that dude threw, I think, 12 passes.
Yeah,
in the entire game, you know, but they had two halfbacks and a fullback that just carried the ball.
Larry Zonka and
Jim Kick
And who was the other dude?
Mercury Morris.
Mercury Morris. There he was. Yeah, man.
Yep. So.
And guess what? Undefeated, yeah. Bitches. Yeah. Don't complain about it. Undefeated.
Don't hate. Don't hate on those Dolphins. You know the funny thing about this? And I don't know if you know this or not, but it was still, 72 was still really close on the heels of the merger, right? And the right. AFL really was, you know, the AFC wasn't really, you know, an old AFL team wasn't really as respected as an old NFL team. So going into the Super Bowl, undefeated to that point, the Dolphins were underdogs in that Super Bowl to the Redskins.
Of course they were.
Yeah. So, you know, even as awesome as that team was, because they were a legacy AFL team, yeah, they can't nearly be as good as this Redskins team.
Yeah, you'd have thought they lost that. They learned that lesson in 63, but apparently not.
67, you mean, with the Jets?
63? No, 67? Really?
That was 67, and then the next year the Chiefs beat
Though.
What?
So 64 was the first Super Bowl?
66 was the first Super Bowl. It was the 66 season. It was in 67, and the Packers won 66. And, wait a minute. 65 and 66. Then the Jets won 67. Okay, Chiefs won 68.
So 65 was the first 66. Okay. Because yeah. I know the Jets were season. Third, yeah. So I just know that. So, and then the Chiefs won in 68. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
But a wee lad.
I was not alive, so, for 10 years, so.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. You're a youngster.
I'm 40, motherfucker. I'm not that young.
You're younger than me, and that's fine.
Yep, you suck.
That's fine.
You're old as shit.
That may be true. But anyway, dude, I'm gonna hit that show closer music do right now.
Well,
we're okay. Gonna do that other thing next
okay.
time.
Okay. All right. Word.
All right. Well, you know, we did a 30-minute show in the off season. What the hell?
Whatever. Yeah, we're just
talked about some cool stuff. Free agents. You know. All right, we're out, bitches. Enjoy your next couple weeks. We'll be back two Wednesdays from now to talk about the draft a little bit more. Maybe do a mock there.
Speaking of drafts,
maybe go back in time, do some history. With the draft. That'll be fun.
Well, speaking of that history, let's give a preview real quick. You and me.
Okay.
I thought it was really interesting because I looked up Barry Sanders, like where he went. And
right.
So here he went third overall.
Right.
And let's just do top five of this draft.
So should I shut the music off then?
No, it's 89. It's fine. Okay. I'm just going to go through five. Aikman went first, clearly a good pick. Tony Mandrich went second to the Packers.
I remember that.
Then Barry Sanders, then Derek Thomas to the Chiefs, and then Deion Sanders to the Atlanta Falcons. So
yeah, Tony Mandrich, bust.
Only the Packers lost, right? So Aikman, Hall of Famer. Sanders, Hall of Famer. Derek Thomas, Hall of Famer. Deion Sanders, Hall of Famer. Like, they won. Everybody in the top five won in 89 except for the Packers with Tony Mandrich. So
that's true. And, you know, I remember seeing Tony Mandrich on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, man.
And they're basically like they went to the grocery store with him and they were talking about all the food he eats in the course of a day. And it was like, you know, four chickens, 3 gallons of milk. I mean, it was just crazy. He was like, I go to the grocery store every 2 days because I have to. My refrigerator is.
But can you imagine the Packers could have had Barry Sanders.
Packers could have had Derek Thomas. Packers could have had.
They could have had Troy Aikman. Come on.
Well, he was the first pick, though, right?
He was number one.
Well, they couldn't have had Troy Aikman by the time the Packers picked.
They could have traded up.
No, man. You know, if the Cowboys knew that the Packers wanted Aikman and they wanted Aikman, they're not going to make that trade.
Maybe. But you're right. Okay. Fine. But I'm just saying. Barry, Derek Thomas, Deion Sanders all went behind Tony Mandrich. That's got to hurt a little bit. Barry
hurt a lot.
Barry, dude. Derek Thomas and Deion, both great defensive players, fine. But Barry, come on, man.
Right.
You know I got man love. Come on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I do know this.
Come on, man.
All right, well, we're going to talk more about this and other drafts and what could have been and what might have been and All that kind of thing in a couple weeks. I'll look forward to it. We were going to do it tonight, but we started talking about guys who are still available, and that seemed to be more pertinent at this juncture.
We're still out there.
Yeah, it is. All right, bitches, we'll be back in a couple weeks. Enjoy your off-season life. See ya.
Love you, minute.